Hosanna.
Indeed, you are on Rise FM in 60 minutes, and it's a great pleasure to have you with us. 105.8 is the frequency if you are in Mtsukaligwa, and we're about to converse with the municipal manager of that local municipality, Ubabu Machawe Kunene. He joins us in conversation. But now, let me maybe paint a picture of why we brought him in. As a result that we've been indicted with about calls. Those who did not want to reveal who they were, about three anonymous calls, and two just genuine plead with us to say, can you please interview the municipal manager from Mtsukaligwa local municipality, Machawe Kunene? We suspect and we've heard among community members that there is alleged irregular appointment of service providers in the municipality, so we'd like him to account on that. And well, the MM is a great friend of the show. It's been a while since you've spoken to him, and I believe he does join us now on the line. MM, thanks for availing yourself. It's been a minute since you've been on the show.
Well, thank you, Musa. Thanks for having me, and good evening to yourself and the listeners at home. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's start with, obviously, the outcry. And I've just painted a picture. At least about five listeners of Rise FM have alerted us of what they suspect or sentiments that are somewhat prevalent in the municipality, that the municipality is accused of having appointed a service provider whose functions in the Mbombela local municipality, apparently, they are also contracted with the Mbombela local municipality. And their work here in the city of Mbombela is somewhat that of a, you know, study service. And I don't want to entertain the aspect where they also informed us that these particular service providers or service provider is presumed to be in close proximity with some of the prominent politicians in the province. But maybe let's focus on what really matters. Did you or are you aware of these allegations and that the municipality is deemed to have appointed irregularly a service provider whose work is questionable in the city of Mbombela? And what is maybe the genesis, if you can share with us there?
No, thanks, Musa. No, Musa, let me just point out straight that I am not aware of any contractor that has been appointed irregular. All contractors that have been appointed by the municipality, we have followed our supply chain policy, and we also do duty diligently on the appointment processes. So I'm not aware, it's the first time, there's nobody that has ever brought it to our attention of suspicion of irregular appointment for that matter.
Mm-hmm. And part of the reasons why we've invited you then is to just give the province an account on the state of service delivery in the municipality. Maybe let's start with the issue of water. Mtsukaligwa is known for not providing adequate water among the residents. What is then now the status? Which are some of the areas that do not have water, and what seems to be the reason?
No, thanks, sir. The issue, you will know that around October, running into January, we experienced a drought in and around Mtsukaligwa, Emelo to be in particular, and also Britain. We were severely affected. Two of our dams, which is Puma Dam and the Class Dam, which supplies the community of Emelo and Wesselton, got dry. I think we still had some few, the other dam was not that much dry, which was the Class Dam. So we had to supplement water on Jericho Dam to supply the community. However, that was also not enough. But we also experienced a drought also in the Brayton area, our turbinite dam, also got dry. So we are affected in the Brayton area and also Kefitine. So we had to deliver water using water tankers to our community. But I must say, Musa, that the situation has improved drastically. We have availability of water. Our dams are full. I can confirm that the communities that were previously affected, they now have water, in particular in those wards that were affected by the drought. We are looking at a long-term solution because I think it's not for the first time that our dam has gotten dry. In 2013, we experienced a similar challenge. By that time, I was working for Kapsibande District, so that's why I'm aware of the matter. But the long-term solution that we are working on together with the Department of Water and Sanitation in Kapsibande District, we want to abstract water from Notre Dame Dam, that side of Carolina, so that we can have water be supplied to Brayton and also to ML during the dry season like we experienced before. So water availability, we are fine currently, Musa. We are also supplying our farm areas with our water tankers. So we have a long-term plan that in those areas where we do not have infrastructure, we are looking at drilling boreholes, install stand tanks and be able to reticulate in those small areas. Mm. So there is a lot of work that is being done.
Yeah. MM, last week or so, yeah, it was last week, the HE was briefing Parliament on the state of just municipal financial status. And one of the things that stood out for me is what she flagged about Mtsogaliswa. In fact, the AG told Parliament last week that the financial position of 49 out of the 247 municipalities, about 20% of them were completed, and then the audits were dire, that they had to disclose significant doubt about their ability to continue to operate fully, of which Mtsogaliswa is among those municipalities in Mpumalanga flag there, out of the six municipalities. And the issue with Mtsogaliswa is that for two consecutive years, you seem to be showing indications of somewhat of a doubt, at least from the perspective of the Auditor General. A doubt in the ability to continue to operate fully. Yeah, what seems to be the issue there, in your understanding? Because the AG is worried about the continuity of the municipality, in a sense that for two consecutive years, you have not convinced the AG about your ability to continue to operate fully.
Partly there is a correctness in what the AG raises. We are indeed one of the municipalities in the province that is financially distressed. We are under also a mandatory financial recovery plan with provincial treasurers. Maybe let me start on the issue of audit. We might not have improved our audit opinion as an institution. However, there has been a lot of work, Mosalabi has been done, and I'm sure that in the current audit that we will be facing come August, we should be able to move from the qualification we've had in the last 2 or 3 years. If Musa, I will take you back in our first interview, I indicated the state of affairs, which we found in particular on our audit. We heard about we are an inspired that has moved from a streamer went into qualification, which we have been there for the last 3 years, as I've indicated. We had almost about 12 matters that resulted to the municipality being qualified. I can tell you, Musa, on the audit that was released recently, our matters have been drastically reduced. We only remain with two matters that are led to us to be qualified, which is payables and then cash flow, which we are working on it. Our finances have indicated that they are not looking good. We are owed by our customers about 1.8 billion. We also owe Eskom and DWS, who are main creditors, about 1.5. In the culture of payment for services has drastically gone down, and which makes it difficult for the municipality to survive. We are not getting back our money from communities. I think our communities in Tsualikwa owes us almost 800 million. Businesses contribute about 300 million. And we also have a government in that fold that also owes the municipality. But we, however, have our trade control policy in which we try and cut services for those that are defaulting in their payment. But I must indicate that it's also not that effective. I think the issue of our economy, it's also contributing to this. But we are not going to give up.
Yeah.
We are going to improve the situation.
Yeah. And when we talk about 300 million that is being owed to the municipality, things from the business tenants or from those who are rendering business and services in the municipality. I mean, you look at municipalities such as the city of Johannesburg and, you know, largely in the city of Tshwane, if I'm not mistaken, they introduced the closing of services to some of, you know, those entities. What is stopping you? Because I would understand that from, you know, the community side or the resident side, you might have, a lot of litigation with, the human rights organization. But from a business perspective, they are generating revenue, however they are not paying, including some of the departments that are there. I've since noted in Covenant Baby, Public Works has, you know, paid their debts there. What then is then the difficulty when it comes to Tsualikwa, for instance, in making sure that the departments that you host and the business community that is there, they do somewhat, adhere to, you know, their debts out there?
Musa, there is nothing that is stopping the municipality. We are on regular basis cutting off businesses. They come and make arrangements, which they also default on. And I think I was just indicating to our leadership in the municipality that I'm also noticing business is closing down because they are also not doing well at this point. But we are indeed cutting them. We are also cutting government departments.
Sure.
I know that Public Works has made an arrangement with the institution and they are going to be paying us in the first week of now in June. So those are part of the arrangements that we have made. But I must also indicate, Musa, you see, we struggle with schools. You will know that the arrangement with the schools that owes us around Tsualikwa, I think the government bodies have approached the municipality several times where they need that they are responsible for payment of services which they are up to date. But they are not responsible for payment which is done by Public Works. And therefore, we are always up in arms with the parents. Why are we cutting schools, affecting kids at school? So that's the situation we're dealing with. but why the engagement with the Department of Education and Public Works to find amicable solutions so that we don't put our kids at school into this situation.
Yeah. Apologies to interject there. Let me raise two questions with you, and I find them to be interlinked somehow. The other one is, Msukaliko Council seems to be passing a lot of unfunded budgets. And I've noted even through the AT, they list you there as municipalities that have passed unfunded budgets. And obviously they're raising that as an issue. And I've also been informed that Msukaliko recently passed a budget, and that budget did not go for public consultation. And if it did, I'm told that it was done through virtual platforms, and most political parties rejected it. However, it was still endorsed and it passed. Maybe from an accounting perspective, I know that much of it is council work, of which you can't account for the council. But from an administrative perspective, has the budget been approved, and what has been the sentiment of the community around the approved budget?
Musa, we approved our draft budget in March. Then in the month of April and May, we started our budget consultation processes. And we've consulted all the 19 wards in our municipality. But we've also consulted with businesses, the other interested parties that enlisted themselves to be also engaged. And it will not be entirely true that they were only held virtually. I know one or two words that had their budget consultation virtually, and it was not the only two words. But I know I've attended personally to about more than 10 words where I was personally present, and in all those meetings were physical. So the report I can give is that all our words in Suwaliko were consulted, and generally we raised with the community that indeed our budget is not funded. But in the main, it is a result of the debt that we owe to both our creditors, which is DWS and ESCOM, which were also engaging with them. You know, we were part of the municipalities that were approved for the debt relief of ESCOM. We are paying whatever we receive from ESCOM and DWS. We also have a payment arrangement, but they have also approved a water debt relief program, which we will be engaging with the department possibly tomorrow, so that we try and also get into that fold, so that we can really reduce on the debt that we owe our creditors. You know, that's what makes us to be unfunded.
Are you aware of the sewage spillage that is at Extension 33? Because I'm under the impression that the municipality should have a response turnaround. So now, some of the community members there have sent us pictures of how things are, and I'm told that it's been quite a number of days with the sewer spillage that is happening there. What seems to be the issue, MM, there?
Yeah. For Extension 32, 33, 34. It's one area which we are having problem of sewer spillage. We know that in the last year we had built a bulk line from Extension 33 to our treatment works. That bulk line was completed last year. We are now in a position to start with the reticulation of that area. We are already on advert, so I know that our product starts. I mean, it's closing on the 17th of June, where we want to appoint a contractor who will deal with the issue of sewer sewage in all the three extensions that I've mentioned. Mm-hmm. If you can check on the e-tender, you will find that we are responding to that as an institution.
Mm-hmm. But MM, you know, the issue of sewage or, you know, the sewer spillage in Sogaluka seems to be an ongoing issue. Because even the South African Human Rights Commission, on the service delivery inquiry, that issue came up, and you had to somewhat submit a proposal to the South African Human Rights Commission as to how you are going to deal with it. Are you then in par with what you submitted there, and what are then the recent developments as to why maybe the extension 32, 33, and 34, as you said, seemingly is a precarious issue and a violated incident?
Mosa, in MLO, we have a capacity issue. Our MLO treatment works. It's a 9 megaliter treatment work. So that we receive on daily basis over 16 megaliters per day. That result in our treatment works not treating the sewer proper. So what we needed to address as an institution was to upgrade our treatment works, of which we have already appointed a service provider to deal with the upgrade. We are upgrading our treatment works from a 9 megaliters to a 32 megaliters, and that project is funded by EPWF. Work has already started, and the contractor is on site.
Sure.
And I must indicate, Musa, you will remember that in 2023, the Department of Water and Sanitation took us to court. One of the issues was that we are polluting the valve,
sure.
But over and above that, we needed to develop a rehabilitation plan to stop polluting. So these projects that we are currently implementing as a municipality, they are indeed in response to those findings, and we continuously provide feedback to DWF in terms of, that's where the compliance unit, in terms of how the municipality progressing. As I speak to you, Musa, currently in the MLO area, we have almost about three projects that are there in trying to deal with the sewer project. We are doing a pipeline, an outfall sewer pipeline called the Everest area, Pumula area. We've just concluded the upgrade of our sewage ponds and creating sewage ponds, which are projects that we've just completed in the last financial year. And we look forward to upgrading our sewer treatment plan so that we can resolve these matters once and for all, together with the extension 33, which has been a done matter in our in the municipality.
And then, you know, I'm looking at the time and some of the questions I do have for you. Maybe I have generous with you in terms of how I've not been coming in with a lot of them. But look, maybe as we conclude, I was in MLO in just almost a week ago. Now, I am in the state of road infrastructure is very bad. It's very bad in MLO. But I'd like you to then maybe wrap up with this one, where we look into just the illegal mining, because everyone I talk to who I know in MLO seems to be raising this issue of the illegal mine at the Gold Club. What seems to be the issue? I remember on the 24th of April, you've already got a court order. What seems to, what seems to be then the issue of that order being implemented against those who are mining minerals at the municipal site and subsequently you know, affecting the infrastructure of many human settlements there?
No, thanks, Mufa. You know that I agree that our road infrastructure is quite bad, but I would indicate that we are working on it. There are two bridges that we are currently doing in town. There's a 2 kilometer, I mean, a 2 kilometer location and a 2 kilometer road that we are currently constructing. We've just completed two roads, paving projects that we're doing at Extension 33 and in the North area. And we've resurfaced some of the main roads in our town, which includes Abo Hostel, Ardefeik, Abo John Foster Street. So there is work, you know, that we are sitting and we are also reaching portals. If you go around and you will see our team really working to address the issue. Yes, it's not enough. We are also engaging Sandral on their operation Vagazonke. They have promised that they'll be appointing a contractor very soon so that they deal with the roads that have been identified as part of the support. But we are also working well with Public Works and the Health Sibande with their chairperson. It's currently with the municipality. So we are dealing with the areas. I hope when you come back to MLO, it will be a different situation. Let me come back to the issue of the mine. Yes, it's true that there is a mine that is going to open around the Goldview. I need to categorically state, Musa, that we have not authorized that mine to operate in that area. We are the landowners as a municipality. In fact, the municipality has an approved township in that land, which we are assisted by DBSA. So that mine, we have taken the matter to court and obtained that court order, and we are working with SEPs in terms of enforcing that court order. I know that most of the community of Extension 7, who are about 300 meters away from the mine, have also submitted a memorandum to the municipality raising their concerns about the mine and how it's going to impact on their houses. But we are really working on this matter so that we are able to resolve the matter.
Yeah, without a doubt. MM, thank you so much. And I did say on the show, I think yesterday, that you've always been a great friend of the show. When we need you, you do avail yourself when you are available. So I really want to commend you yet again, and thank you so much for making time to speak to us. All the best in the work you do.
No, thank you, Musa. We'll forever be available to account to the communities about the work that we are doing on their behalf. Thank you.
Yeah. That's Makawe Gunene there, the municipal manager of Msugali Kwaloko Municipality. There you have it, Mpumalanga. You ask, we bring. What do you make of that conversation? Feel free to head over to our socials at RiseFM 943 and do let us know.